This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along today. We're taking the mic today to the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce headquarters, right along Routes 11 and 15 in Shamokin Dam. You may have heard our newscast talking about the retirement of Bob Garrett, the chamber's longest-serving president and CEO of this 100-year-old organization, and he has now been succeeded by Amanda Bradley. She is a local native, spent some years in the big city, but we are going to talk to her today about her new job and what her plans are as we head into the future. Amanda, thanks for being with us on the program. Amanda, you've been on the job now about a month. Give us information on, you know, how you came to this point, how you were connected to the chamber in the past.
Sure. So I actually grew up in the Milton area. My dad was a business owner and my mom taught at the Milton Area School District for about 30 years. And after graduating from high school, went to college, lived in Philadelphia for about 10 years. My main career had been in higher education, fundraising, and alumni relations, but had always been working with businesses, volunteering with community efforts, things like that. So when I came back to the area, I eventually found myself working at Drive in Danville, doing business retention and expansion, where I would work really closely with businesses, whether that's a small mom and pop store or a large manufacturer, and helped them get resources like grant funding or information on different workforce development programs, things like that. But my role was to really help them grow and expand. So when this job came open, it was just like, okay, like, let's see if it's a good fit. You know, I love working with businesses, and as a chronic volunteer. I over-volunteer, to be honest with you. And having had experiences working on the Young Professionals Committee, but then also the Events Committee for the Chamber, I've always really appreciated the mission of trying to help businesses grow and network. When I applied for the job, I'm like, I think I can do that and grow their network as well with my own and just kind of make this really nice symbiotic relationship. So I was really excited when I was offered the opportunity.
And I've talked to people who you wonder, how did they ever get into this? But Drive to here, that seems like the most natural transition possible.
Yeah. To go for, I mean, when you're looking at businesses anymore, economic development in our region is really a core part of how businesses grow and expand and even get started. There's a lot of really great budding entrepreneurs in our area that need support and resources. And so, yeah, like you said, like it just seems like a natural transition. And that's really what it felt like to me. So it was an exciting jump to make.
You know, Bob was here for what, 14 or 12 years, I guess.
12 years.
So is that intimidating to come into such somebody who's been in the spot so long?
Sure. And Bob has been wonderful in answering questions that I have. He's still actually staying on as our transportation committee chair. And what's really nice is that, precedents have been set for, I think, you know, what the chamber can do and what chambers can do to help businesses, like I said, network resources, things like that. So I really hope that I can just carry that on and help expand what the foundation that he and the rest of the board has already started to grow.
And you can tell Bob that Matt will now bother you instead of him.
He'll be excited that we got to chat. So okay. I'm excited that I'll be able to drop your name to him.
I'm guessing you're the first woman in this position, you're not sure?
I believe so. I started looking back, and then I only got to a certain point, and then I got distracted by something else that was kind of shiny. So I only got so far. But I believe I might be, yes, the first woman in this role.
And I was going to say, since we talked before we went on tape here, that I've been doing it for 37 years in radio, so I don't remember. I mean, I can remember back that far, but not beyond.
Yep. I was, when they offered it to me, I was just like, oh my gosh, like this chamber has been in existence for over 100 years, and to be the first female president CEO is really exciting. I feel very honored to have that role.
Give us a little bit about the chamber for folks not that familiar with it. I mean, you cover a pretty big area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we primarily cover Snyder, Union, Northumberland, and Montour counties. Any business is really open to join any chamber of commerce. So, for example, if there's a business in the Harrisburg area that transports or does a lot of business up here, or multiple bank branches that, you know, have some in our area, everyone's always welcome to join a chamber of commerce if it makes sense. But really what we're looking to do is be a resource, be a partner, help connect, as I mentioned, businesses to resources. We want to help everyone succeed, and that's what a chamber really should do. Information is power, and I truly believe that, the more information you have, the more people you know and connect with, only the better. Like, there's nothing that can really go badly as long as you're, I think, getting the resources you need to make informed decisions. So we're really focusing on that in the first couple of months here, is really making sure that our membership tiers and our benefits that we offer are really aligned with that. We're specifically looking more at what we can do advocacy-wise and also with workforce development, because we know that those are really high priorities to our businesses in the region.
You've only been on a few weeks, but any surprises in what you'd expect of a Chamber of Commerce and what you're actually going to be doing?
Nothing. We have not found anything buried in the basement yet. No archaeological digs. I have not found like an esophagus of some sort from like late Egypt or anything like that. So nothing too surprising yet. But I will say, I think one of the most kind of like humbling things is how excited everyone's been and how welcoming the business community and just resource partners have been to myself. And we just hired a new director of member success, Colleen Patterson. She just started last Monday. So she's also very, very new. She started on the 13th of April. And so just the very just warm like hug of a welcome we've received into the chamber and into the chamber world has been really just, I think, beyond anything we could have imagined. So I think that's been one of the nicest, happiest surprises.
Any kind of thoughts that you want to, initiatives you'd like to see tackled in your first, 3-6 months?
So one thing that I spoke to the board about when I was actually interviewing is that I really kind of want to do like a big listening tour of a lot of our members, but also past members that maybe aren't currently members, really hearing what the chamber could do, maybe that hasn't been done in the past. What do they need? Because we want to be useful and we don't want to pre-prescribe what anybody might need for their business or what they're feeling or what they're going through. We want them to be able to come to us and say, hey, we're having problems with this, this, and this. If the chamber could offer something for as a solution, that would be really beneficial. Because most likely what that business is going through is also happening in others. And that's really what I've seen in my past careers, is that usually if one is experiencing something, it's actually more of a widespread issue across others. So I think one of the main initiatives to begin with is what I'm going to deem the listening tour for the next couple of months. And so we're really excited to have those conversations.
It seems like that listening portion of it has always been big here, as far as finding out specifically, I come to you with this, my business wants to join, but should I? Why should I? What do you have to offer me? Mm-hmm. Have you thought that through much as far as, how you can, provide better value for people?
Sure, sure. Yeah, and that's one thing that Colleen and I really just, I think it was literally her first day and we're looking over the membership tiers and we're like, okay, we want to be more specific in our website and what we're putting on our marketing and on our social media to say, this is what our chamber can help you do. There's a lot of resources out there. This is what we can help with. And if we don't know the answer, we can help find somebody because we provide that kind of networking. So really, I think some of the value that our chamber can offer is that networking aspect, and we really want to make sure that we're promoting that accurately, but also looking at how are people finding information? How better can we advertise who our members are and get the name out there of these different businesses and what they're able to provide, because we want to make sure that they're out and about and getting the recognition that they need to be receiving for the good work that they do. So I think it's kind of a little complicated and as in radio, I'm sure it's like how people retain and hear and receive information is ever changing every single day. It started off with radio and newspaper and then television, and then from there it's moved into, YouTube, online, social media, TikTok, like 30-second videos. Who knew that that would become such a big thing? But we want to make sure that we're staying relevant with, I think, those media outlets and disseminating information. Events, another big one where we're connecting members and potential new members and community resources, et cetera. We want to look at events and see what's really going to make sense. What do people need? and again, not pre-prescribe things to them that they're really just not all that interested in. So we're really excited, I think, to revamp what those benefits are.
Yeah, I wonder about the future with TikTok with some of these things, because I have some local things now that I do follow on TikTok, and it's my own personal thought is it works, because you're seeing a cat video from
exactly.
Mongolia,
yep.
But next I'm seeing the bookstore at the mall.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, we've been currently, the chamber has Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. We have a small YouTube channel that we haven't really used too much in the past, but we're looking at that as another avenue. But TikTok is not something that we have yet. So we're looking at, because a lot of businesses, like you said, are starting to use it to help do advertising. It's just another way of connecting to another generation of community members in our area. And so we have to make sure we're reaching all of them, because there's so many cool things that are happening in our area. We all know that, but getting that out there so people know that, like, you can not only grow up here, graduate from here, live here, have a ton of fun here, but also have a really cool job in a really cool industry at a really cool business. And you can truly have it all and still be a couple of hours away from any major metropolitan city. So I think TikTok is a really cool way of, like, helping to, like, reach that newer, younger generation.
I love seeing the millennial generation that grew up with this stuff now, you know, coming into these positions where I've always interviewed, where you're coming into it. I mean, I remember, 12 years ago, we talked about three major things in the area, which maybe you're looking at it as some more piece by piece as far as having huge projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And to Bob's credit, he always did the YouTube channel. And and I personally have not done that yet. So I give him all the props in the world for starting that and being willing to go down that. But
head of his generation.
Exactly. He was a trendsetter, that is for sure. So I keep saying big loafer to fill in, and definitely the digital loafers are there too. But yeah, I think using different avenues and channels like that to announce, like, large projects, things that are going on, like the good news of the region that the chamber is helping with, and what other people are doing too. I mean, I think it's just the best way possible.
As far as the business climate around here, I know over the years here with my interviews, the numbers of members have gone up and down. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I was a kid, the malls were the thing, and then everybody talked about the businesses were leaving town and going to the malls. Now that, I guess that's changed again, because now it's online. Does that present kind of a whole new set of challenges as to how you offer value to someone when they're competing with, you know, Amazon or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the business climate is really interesting because, like you mentioned, it's ever evolving and changing really rapidly. As an 80s kid, I love the mall. I still love to go to the mall. It's still one of my favorite pastimes to go do, because it's nice to be able to actually go and walk and tangibly go into a store and feel it, touch it, try it on, see the you know, blender you would like to buy first. And I think one of the wonderful things about our area is that we still have gorgeous downtowns that have stores that you can tangibly walk into and go do that. Now, it's interesting because, as we just mentioned, the landscape is changing, but helping those businesses offer not only an in-person experience, but then also figure out how to do an online presence is really interesting, I think, because you have platforms like Shopify, you do have Amazon, but, you know, helping businesses figure out which avenue is best for them, because it might not be Amazon, because maybe they take a little too much of a piece of the pie when it looks at your profitability, or maybe Shopify is a little too overly complicated for what you want. But, you know, maybe if you can connect to a local website designer, they can build you a little shopping platform in. So it's getting that small mom and pop business connected to the right person to talk it through, who might be an expert. So that's one area that I think that the chamber could really help in, is just, again, connecting resources. It's one of the favorite parts, I think, about my job is getting people. It's the people-to-people interaction, because people trust people. There's so much misinformation out there that they trust this, like this kind of like person-to-person interaction that we have. And people can't see it, but I'm waving my hands back and forth to demonstrate that. But yeah, that's what they trust. And so we're excited to be those people that connect them to the resources.
Any thoughts on the major highway we're sitting next to right now, which in about 2 or 3 years isn't going to be as major because the bypass will be done. Mm-hmm. Is that a concern for the chamber of how that's going to affect these businesses? I've always been told the line of, oh, well, those will be local people, but you're going to lose. Seems like you're going to lose a lot of people mm-hmm. that potentially would have stopped.
Yeah, so we're definitely taking a look at that, and we are very lucky that we have a great transportation committee. As I mentioned, Bob is still helping to chair that, but we are very well connected to PennDOT and also our local elected officials, and so that's what we're going to be keeping a really close eye on. We're very lucky that we have those individuals in those positions at the state that are a part of this committee, because we can get a grasp on what's going to happen before it happens and then inform our members and other businesses and other resource partners of any potential trouble that might be coming up. But it is definitely something to keep an eye on, though, because I mean, any change is a little scary because you don't know like what's like around the bend. I remember when I lived in Philadelphia, there's a part of the Schuylkill on Route 76 called the Conshohocken Curve. And if you've ever been on 76 outside of Philadelphia, this curve is just the most interesting, like psychological, like bubble experiment, I swear, that like you could do a study on. But people always like slammed on their brakes before they went around the curve, because they didn't know what was around the curve. So obviously, you know, tapping on your brakes or slowing down a little bit would make sense. But they would always just come to a dead stop. And I'm like, okay, guys, like, we can still go, like, you know, 30 miles per hour around the curve, not just come to a dead stop. So kind of the same kind of vibe here, where we're looking at, you know, we need to just, like, you know, tap the brakes a little bit and be like, okay, let's ask some really important questions. Get some more feedback. Again, information being power, we need to make sure that we have all the information we need to help others make informed decisions about their businesses. Okay.
And having been to Philly way too many times in the last 10 years, I know the concept.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? It's just one. I swear there are like 1,000 different roads in Philadelphia and probably around here too that fit that analogy.
And right here on the strip in Shamokin Dam, I mean, there's new stuff happening. I mean, even to this day. I mean, I know there's a business that was in Sunbury over here now, and you've got the Royal Farms gone in.
Yeah, Royal Farms, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting, I think, even in the past just year or so, to see how much things have changed. You have Royal Farms going in, which we are very excited for, and yep, Jasmine Air is moving across the street, so we are excited to I would say walk over, but this highway is a little dangerous to walk on.
Not trying that.
So, yeah, not trying that, but so we drove over and introduced ourselves to them, and they have a ribbon cutting coming up, I believe it's May 8th. I almost said June. We are not in June yet. It is May 8th. So we'll be really excited. We're hoping that they're going to be chamber members. We had that short discussion, so we might be helping there. But it's really exciting to see all of the little growth like popping up here and there. And it's really fun to be a part of that because we get to help celebrate those moments.
All right. Before we wrap up our interview today with Amanda, we're going to just get kind of an overview for folks, again, not familiar with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. You have kind of ongoing things like the Leadership Susquehanna Valley. Is that still?
So Leadership Susquehanna Valley actually is now with the CSIU. So
okay.
they actually took that over, I think it was about a year ago or so. But we're really excited to still be involved in helping them talk to businesses, get experiences. So we're still participating in that way.
Who is the staff here in addition to you?
So it's myself and Colleen Patterson, who is the Director of Member Success. So we are a strong party of two right now,
okay.
But we also have some really incredible board members and committee members as well.
Amanda Bradley is the new president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, headquartered in Shamokin Dam along Routes 11 and 15, but covering a very large footprint of our valley. Amanda, thanks for being with us on the program. We thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.